when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, turn to your neighbor and say something nice. Say something nice, like, oh, may your wedding come soon. Or may you buy a car soon. Or may you have your choice. Something, may you get A. Those who are students, may you get plenty A's. Hallelujah. Have you blessed your neighbor? Did he also bless you? Did you receive it? Or you don't trust his blessing? You received it. It shall be according to your faith. And I believe that God will answer every prayer prayed today. And when he does that, you will see the testimony of our God. Hallelujah. But this morning, I want us to... Today we are celebrating half a year of life. Yeah. We are celebrating. Because I remember clearly on Father's Day. Do you know Father's Day? Father's Day was when? June 17th. June 17th was Father's Day. Am I mistaken? Am I right? On Father's Day in the morning at 3 o'clock, I got a message from one of my friends telling me happy Father's Day. And he's a regular Father's Day, Christmas, my birthday. He doesn't fail. He sends me greetings every Father's Day. And that Father's Day at 3 o'clock, I got a greeting from him. Thank you for everything, everything. 6 o'clock, he was dead. In his room. He was in his room, just died. Tell somebody you have survived half a year. You should be clapping to God. You have survived. You didn't just die in your room on Father's Day or for the girl's Mother's Day. You are alive. No, your clapping is not. Amen. And that is why we are celebrating today. And I want you to understand that it is a reason. Don't say, look, tell me, but don't say I'm strong. You're not strong too. Don't say I'm healthy. You don't know what's happening inside your body. As you are sitting here, some of you have diabetes, not you, somebody else. Have diabetes, asthma, all kinds of hypertension waiting for you in the future. So let us rather be grateful to God for all the great things he has done for us. Hallelujah. Let us pray. And Father, thank you so very, very much for today, for this opportunity we have to share fellowship in this beautiful place. Let this morning's words reach deep into our souls, our hearts. Let this be a transforming encounter with you, that something is going to change in our hearts about our understanding of being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you so, so, so very, very much. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Can an usher move these baskets and just put them around the corner? They are not for display. Amen. This morning, I'm reading a lot of scriptures. It's not... I'm just... want us to understand what it is, why we are here, and why we are celebrating. Amen. And today's message is the powerful effects of the church. the powerful effects of the church. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I hope you brought something to write with. Please check your neighbor and ask him, I hope you brought something to write with. Because today you will write a lot. You will write a lot. And if you have a Bible, I hope you didn't borrow the Bible. Because today you underline many, many scriptures. If you borrow the Bible, I don't know how you explain to the owner why you are writing in their Bible. But it's very important. Are you with me? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Tell somebody, stop looking for cars or phones. No, I mean, once you get a car, do you know what follows? Bills. Yeah, bills. Petrol bill, servicing bill, puncture, repair. Hey! Look, how many here have cars who understand what I'm saying? True or no true? Yeah. And recently I read about some cars they say you shouldn't buy. Because these cars, when you buy them, their bills come like a rain on your head. Hallelujah. And one of them is a BMW. Yeah. It is very nice to buy, but very expensive to maintain. So tell neighbor, I advise you, don't buy a BMW. Buy a Mercedes. It's better. Yes. And tell them, don't buy a Range Rover. It will be expensive to maintain. You know. So those of you who are looking for cars, tell somebody, Bible says, don't look for cars. But look for what? Spiritual. So underline spiritual gifts. Underline. Today, you are writing a lot. Underline spiritual gifts in the Bible. Desire spiritual gifts. But rather, and also rather, that ye may prophesy. Underline prophesy. Underline prophesy. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, this is why we speak in tongues in church. Oh, please tap your neighbor. Today, you're with me. This is why we speak in tongues. Oh, I can see you're not saying it. Please turn to your neighbor and tell him, this is why we speak in tongues in church. Because we are speaking mysteries to God. And if you are here and you don't speak in tongues, I pray that you quickly join us and become a speaker of tongues. Hallelujah. Why? But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Underline the whole of verse 3. He that speaketh, this is why we are in church, where we are speaking to men to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Do you understand now? When you speak in tongues, what we are doing here, trying to help you, you are doing it for yourself. So ask your neighbor, my neighbor, do you speak in tongues? Please just a quiet whisper. Turn to your neighbor, ask him, my neighbor. Oh, you are not asking my sister. You ask your neighbor. Oh, you ask her. At least for my sake, don't disgrace me that I said and you didn't mind me. Do you speak in tongues? Oh, you asked your neighbor. You asked. What did they say? Not yet. Soon. It's coming soon. No, let us speak in tongues to edify ourselves. Hallelujah. How many want to become rich? If your hand is down there, I'll suck you from this church. Yeah. I don't want poor people who want to be poor. No, you shouldn't be here. No, you see, how many want to do well? Yeah, how many want to increase and stop paying rent but have your own house? You are tired of landlords. They are always worrying you and bringing conditions. Yeah. Listen. Seek to edify yourself that you become stronger in the spirit. But he that, verse 4, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. That's the power of prophecy. Hallelujah. Verse 5. This is Paul describing what the church is. This is what Paul is telling the church, what the church is supposed to be. I would that ye all speak with tongues. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
I prefer that everybody here speak in tongues. And then, but rather that ye prophesy also. Prophesying is speaking what God says. You know, put the scripture up rather than putting this thing up. Because those who don't have Bibles, they are just daydreaming. Yeah, thank you. For greater, are you listening? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. Hallelujah. How many have noticed the word edifying? It is coming repeatedly. How many have noticed? You have not noticed. Oh, you will not mind me today. How many have noticed? The word edifieth is repeated, coming again. It's just here again. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I came unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? So this morning, ask your neighbor, what is the use of coming to church? You see, some of you are robots. You are mechanical. You have just come to church because coming to church. Tell somebody no. Tell him no. We don't come to church to come to church. There is a reason for coming to church. And actually, there is a very... How many like money? Let's be honest. You like money. The girls too like money. Some are raising both hands. Yes, you like money. How many like profits? Yeah. And you see, Paul is asking what... And you see, don't think that I can't ask questions. Because when you don't ask questions, you will not get answers. And so tell somebody, feel free to ask questions. And the question that they're asking is, what is the benefit of coming to church? Paul is asking, what shall I profit you? How can I help you? It means that, are you listening to me this morning? It means that you should expect, tap your neighbor, tell them, you should expect. Oh, please tap your neighbor on the shoulder or something. You should expect a benefit, a profit, an increase, something good happening to you for coming to church. Amen. How many agree what I'm saying this morning? You should expect it. And do you know what it means? Can I tell you what it means? It means that if you are going to a church where there's no profit, you are not thinking, where there's no benefit, where there's no increase, you are going to a church where you can't see why you are going to that church, what should you do? Stop it. I'm a pastor. I've not changed. I've not become a pharmacist suddenly. I'm still a pastor. But I'm just reading the Bible to you. That some of us, we just come to church, then we go home. We just come, then we just go home. Tell somebody you are mad. Oh, you didn't say it with passion. Tell me you are mad. You just come to church, and then you go home. Oh, please add your hand. You see, come to church, then go home. You just come to church, then you go home. and just come and then just go home. You are crazy. I said, you are crazy. I mean, it's like you are going to work, they don't pay you, and you are still going. What are you? What are you? You are working at a place where they don't pay you, and you take trotro taxi, go in and out every day, you spend money for lunch. At the end of the month, you are spending about 800 cedis going to work and come, and they don't pay you. What are you? You are, it begins with F, but I can't see it. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what is the benefit of sitting? Please tap your neighbor and ask him, why are you sitting here? No, my sister in white, you're not asking her. No, ask her, why are you sitting here? Please ask her why. Or you are bored, or you are angry. Ask her why. Why? I mean, help me. Because I can't talk to her in the yellow blouse. You are there closer to her. So speak for me. Ask her, my little girl in the yellow blouse or whatever it is, why did you come to church today? Why? Are you bored? Or you come to see your friends? Or why did you come to church today? Because there must, are you listening? There must be a prophet. There must be I don't think you believe me this morning. There must be a benefit to coming to church. Otherwise, tell whoever it is that you met a certain pastor man and he said, if there's no benefit, don't go to church. And when they asked me, it's on record that today, that's what I said. There's no benefit, don't go to church. Stay home and lie in your bed and eat omoto. What do you eat on Sunday morning? TZ. TZ. Special TZ. With ayoyo soup. Yes. Except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge, the things you receive when you come to church, revelation or knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. It means that when you come to church, you may hear something that is for exactly you, revelation, because others, it doesn't concern them. I may come and tell you a word that says, listen, don't give up your job. And you are sitting here about to resign. You've written a letter, it's in your pocket, and you're going to resign Monday morning. Then I say from the pulpit, I'm talking about something. Then I say, don't resign. I'm talking to you. Hey, you mind me again this morning? Or prophesy that somebody is going to get a breakthrough tomorrow morning. Those who said amen will get a breakthrough. Amen. Those who are just looking at me, you come and keep looking at me like that. Those who came and went without benefits. Or by knowledge, you are gaining understanding of one chapter in the Bible this morning. Or by doctrine, we are teaching you what we as a church, we believe that church is important. Not just come, but every member and minister, every person, every tap your neighbor in this church. I said tap your neighbor. I didn't say look. Tap your neighbor. I said in this church, every member is considered important. Every member can make a difference. You see, when I say make a difference, you must say it with some kind of passion. Every member can make a difference in somebody's life. You are important. That's the doctrine of this church. Yeah, so when you come here, you're also learning doctrine, what we believe. And that is why I want you to understand that there should be a clear benefit for coming to church. Hallelujah. Verse 8. For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound or an unclear sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? It means that if what I am saying is not clear, what is the use? It means if you come to church and what I say you don't understand, tell your neighbor there is useless. it's useless to come and sit in church and you don't understand what they are saying. That is why in our second service we add three to the preaching, because some people say they don't understand English. They speak only three. I don't believe it, because they watch all the TV movies. They watch Nigerian movies. They watch Korean movies. They watch every kind of movie, even Indian film. They watch all, and they say they don't speak English. But well, we will not. We will not mind them. We will still make room for them to get everything. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy. Understand, easy to be understood. Understand it. Easy to be understood. Except ye utter words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? How are you going to, if I come and I start speaking big brofwe English with some kind of legalistic words, I mean, you will not understand what you are saying. And you will come and sit down and you smile at me, then you go home shelling has gone into your head, because the words are bigger over your head. And that is how come my prophets, my bishop, when he's preaching, they say he's just talking. And that's what he's doing. He's talking to you about life and important things. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why they say that preaching should be complicated. Tell somebody no. Preaching should not be complicated. It should be simple. Because we are preaching to the ordinary people. We are preaching to tell somebody, I'm sorry, please ask him, but are you complicated? Ask him, but are you complicated? Are you complex? Oh, please ask your neighbor. If he is, salute him. Say, oh, my complex neighbor. Is it complicated? Oh, please, you're not doing it. I don't see you asking him. Is it complicated? Kirsten, is she complicated? She is. Then salute him, my complicated neighbor. Yes, but you're not complicated. It's just an angel sitting down there. No. How shall it be known what is spoken? Look at this. For ye shall speak into the air. The Bible is accurate, too. It's accurate. But how many, one day you were talking to your friend on the phone or something and the friend fell asleep? Has it happened to you before? Talking to somebody on the floor. Who were you talking to? Into the air. Into the air. That's why in this church, I don't want to talk into the air. So when you are asleep, it will wake you up. Oh, yes. Tell somebody, don't sleep. Or they'll wake you up. I can't talk into the air over your head. No. Verse 11. Okay, verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. It means that everything you hear has a meaning. If it doesn't, you didn't understand it. Everything, every language, every sound, everything has a meaning. Hallelujah. You know, those that are back there, please, ushers, unless you are holding a baby, please come forward. Those on this side here, unless you are holding a baby, the rest, please come forward. Yes, just babies are allowed to sit at the back there. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices, so many different things that are being said. But none of them, everyone, everything has a meaning. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. Everything has a meaning. Amen. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be to him that speaketh a barbarian or a foreigner. It means what you are saying doesn't benefit me. That is why this morning we are trying to explain 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to all of us. Hallelujah. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek, let it be your desire, that ye may excel to the edifying. Edifying has come again. To the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Why? For verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, Shabadanda Kasanda Kateya, my spirit prayeth. My spirit, the inside of me, the person inside me prays, but me, my mind, is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying. And you too. People wonder. Let me jump. There's one. Okay, what is it then? But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirits, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirits, and I will sing with the understanding also. It means that we should be singing in the spirit. We don't have it much in our charismatic circles, but it is something which used to happen very, very much when I was younger, and I think that it shouldn't die out. We should bring it back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirits, how, you see, Paul is making a case that we should pray in tongues. How shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned, who doesn't know what is going on, how will he say amen? If when you come into this church, all we do is speak in tongues. I mean, what is amen? What are you saying amen to? Listen, it means that, tell neighbor, be careful. Don't say amen if you didn't hear the prayer. No, do not say amen if you didn't hear the prayer. Because when you say amen, you are saying, let it be so. So when I pray a prayer, all those who are fair, I won't finish. But those who are fair, be careful before you say amen. Because I may say something that may not be complimentary to what you want. They were all born twins and triplets. Is that what you want? Mavis, is that what you want? Twins and triplets? No. Yeah. You already have five. And they're adding three more to make eight. Nah. So, it means that... Are you listening? This is church. This is what the gathering of the church is. It means that you must say amen when you hear something you like. When they say that those who are going to receive promotion, if you are the boss of your company, you don't need a promotion. So your amen doesn't matter very much. But if you are the messenger or you are the secretary, you must shout amen. Yeah. If you are in JSS 3 and you hear promotion, you must receive it. Because your next promotion is SHS. Hallelujah. Are you listening? If you are single and they say, I see many weddings, I don't want the front row people to say amen. No, they shouldn't say amen. They should say Tofia Akwa. Because they're happily married already. It is, who should say amen? Angel, you are saying amen. You want to get married? In the course of time. In the course of time. She's laid a prayer down for future reference. It shall come to pass. Amen. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. How shall he, are you listening, that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily giveth thanks, but the other is not edified. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Yet in the church I had rather, are you listening? Yet, this is where we are, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? Than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to understand what it is that we are here for. You know, and I don't want you to just come to church as a habit. When you just come to church without understanding, you are now easily diverted because you have no real basis, you have no deep commitment to come in here because you followed a friend to come. When that friend doesn't come, you too, you won't come because you just came because it is Sunday. So when that particular Sunday, your laziness comes. How many know your laziness? You have a laziness that is hiding somewhere. Can I see your hand? There's a laziness around you. Once in a while, it will just appear. Then you're just lying down, very happy, doing nothing. When that laziness comes on a Sunday morning, you just lie down and do nothing. And you're very happy, lying down, doing nothing. True or not true? Hey, true or not true? Carl, is it true? You're very happy, lying down. Maybe cry, drinking Coca-Cola or something. Just there. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just there. But you're very happy. Your laziness has come. Yeah. Your laziness has come. That is why there must be an understanding why we come to church. And also because there is a profit. There is something we must gain every time we come to church. Hallelujah. And this morning, as we read through that particular scripture, one of the key words that was repeated over and over and over again was edification. Hallelujah. Edification. So, number one, there are many, many reasons, but I'm just giving maybe just one for today. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Number one is we come to church for edification. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. When we say edification, what it means is that you are being built up. You are an edifice. Those who didn't go to school, when I come to church and then we are using big words that confuse you, and then you are now like, I mean, you are smiling, but you don't understand what he's saying. An edifice is a building. It's a QS, or it's not so. It's a building. I mean, when they say the edifice is, give me a nice heavy word. You don't understand what you're saying. Edifice, you are thinking that, is it some food B, a journey B? Oh, no, it's a building. So edification is building. Hallelujah. Are you listening? It's building up something. That is what we come to do in church. We are being built up. Now, everybody here, you have two parts. You have two parts. You have your physical parts. That is your body. Take your finger and prick your neighbor. Say, don't mind it. Say, I said. The man said, I should prick you. Choke your neighbor with your finger. Just say, this flesh, this is flesh. Yeah. Oh, Afrani, I can't see you choking Florence. Choke her. Don't worry, she can't beat you. Choke her. This is flesh. Yes. Yeah, this is a part of you, the outside of you. Amen. Everybody has some. The other part of you is the spirit that is inside. Bible says we are treasures in earthen vessels. Earthen because this your body, God made the original one out of clay. The original Adam was made from clay. And then God just knew some clay, like children playing after it has rained, play in the mud. They make a clay person, put it down there. Only that this clay man, he got up and went to town. That's all. So we have two parts, the body and the spirit. Now, I don't think that many of us like thin people and weak people. Because if there's a trouble, I'm looking for a good example to use. I should use Teddy. I should use him. But I don't know what I'm going to use him for. Be careful. They don't like you here. Be careful. Just mark those who are calling your name. You know, if you are given an assignment and you are given two helpers, one is a very tick-tall person and the other is a very small, sick person with SS who has asthma and hypertension and diabetes, which one do you want to help you? The tick-tall person or the asthma, sickle cell, diabetes person? Which one do you want? The tick-tall. Why? Because he can help you more. True or not true? He can help you more. Yeah, I remember when I was in school, I thought no one would marry me because I wasn't big at all like Leslie or Charles. I was praying, oh God, who will marry me? Thank God somebody married me. I don't know why I'm laughing, but okay. Those who are laughing, Lord, look, mark their laughter. Mark their laughter. But it's a true reality. I was worried that, hey, will I marry? Because my friends were all big. So we have a desire. Is it a desire within us to be strong? Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know I've gone to the gym before? Case, be careful. Look, I went to the gym to become strong because I didn't like my small body. Yeah, for 2 weeks, then I gave up. I couldn't handle the pressure of the gym. So I just resigned. I said, okay, this is my portion. What God has given, God will take. I give up. You understand? You didn't give up. I gave up. But listen, there are two sides of us, okay? The inside, the spirit being, and the outside. Now, clearly, we prefer a strong outside. True or not true? We prefer a very fit, healthy, muscular outside. That is also, doctor, is also better, I believe, to be muscular, to be healthy and have muscles and no pot belly. Okay. Doctor, I don't know what you're saying. But listen, the inside man too needs to become strong. Amen. The inside man, the spirit man inside you also needs to become strong. And that is why one of the major reasons, are you listening? The major reasons is that when you come to church, there is edification or there's building up or there's strengthening, not of the outer man, but of the inner man. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is that I pray to God. That's what he's saying. I'm praying to God. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? To be what? I can't hear you. To be what? Strengthened. That is the prayer that Paul is praying, that you be strengthened. With what? Might. With strength. In the spirits. Where? In the inner man. In the inner man. Hallelujah. I did hear a good amen. In the inner man. And so this morning, one of the key reasons why you should, one of the key benefits, let me say it that way, benefits of coming to church is that you are being built up, you are being edified, and you are becoming stronger in the inner man. Amen. 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 Why is it important? Why is it important? Because if you are not strong, Look, I remember those who are laughing now. I remember. No, I won't say this story. No, this one, because they'll laugh at me again. Yeah, pardon? You laugh at me. You laugh at me. You promise. When we were students, one night on Tech Campus, we were walking to go somewhere in the night after a meeting. And as we were walking, then I don't know who mentioned ghosts and other things, ghosts and other things coming. And then one of the girls said, "In that case, I don't want to walk with you. I want to walk with him." I was the you that she are laughing. Because when you are not strong, you can't defend. Hallelujah. But listen, listen carefully. The greatest troubles you will have in this world, most of them are spiritual. Amen. Amen. Most of them are spiritual. Depression, a sickness, some kind of sicknesses, some kind of troubles, unexplained troubles. The big, are you listening? Are you listening? The biggest troubles you will have in this world, most of them are spiritual. Do you know why? Because your prime enemy is not man, but devils. The major person against your welfare, your well-being, your future is not man. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers." Your greatest enemy is the thief who comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is why we have been deceived to be blaming grandmothers and other people. Not at all. Tell somebody, not at all. Your greatest enemy is evil spirits. And if you are here and you don't believe in evil spirits, please, you are in trouble, and come and see me after church for a very serious discussion about the power, the reality of evil spirits. Amen. Amen. And so the reason why, and you see, listen, other people who don't go to church, they also recognize their need for powers. And that is why they go to fetishes and other kinds of places. True or not true? How many know somebody who has gone to a shrine, a fetish, has some powers or has something about him? Can I see your hand? You know someone like that? You raise your hand, but it's okay. They are there. Many years ago, I was very surprised. I took my son to secondary school, Form 1, the first day of secondary school. That day there was a PTA meeting. I said, "Hey, I'm here. Let me stay for PTA meeting because I'll never come again." And I never went again. PTA meeting. I never went again. But that first PTA meeting, I was there. The headmaster came, met all the parents. He spoke to us. Then he said something. This is many years ago. He said, "Please advise your children not to go to the malams." I said, "Hey, Form 1 boys, first day of school, Form 1 boys, this is the advice?" He said, "Yes. Because many, many children at that early age have already gone to occultic people, malams, for all kinds of things. And if a former boy can go, how much more an upper six, a senior person doing those things? How much more a man who is broke and in debt?" Amen. So a lot of people are going out to these powers. That is why if you come to church, are you listening? If you come to church, you must seek to be strong. And that is one of the most important reasons why we come to church. To be edified, to be strengthened, to become strong. Not physically, but in the inner man. That's what Paul is saying, that we are strong in the inner man. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Mark chapter 9. Two reasons why. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. A certain man had a son, and he said, "I brought my child unto thee, my son, which has a dumb spirit." There are many kinds of spirits operating around us. He said, "I brought him to you so that you could heal him." he is possessed of an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And when the spirit seizes him, it throws him to the ground. And he foams at his mouth and grinds in his teeth and becomes rigid. That's the man. That's his son. And look at this. And I brought him to your disciples to cast out the devil, but they couldn't. Why didn't he do it himself? Why didn't he do it himself? Because he couldn't. He couldn't. And that's why he brought him to the other disciples, and they also couldn't. Many years ago, we were living in Tamale, and we're moving to a new house. But as we came to that house, I was told by people, that house where you have been given is a haunted house. Oh, I said, oh, haunted how? I don't believe. But you see, over the next week, different people, even passersby, said, hey, this house you are in, look, at night, we see lights. Nobody's there, but we see lights. We hear sounds. We see movement. Hey, this house there, don't come. I said, it's okay, I will come. I don't have any choice. And then the day I was coming in, I met some laborers who were passing. They said, Master, are you coming here? Don't come, oh, this house is not a good house. I said, hey, everybody's saying the same thing. There's something here. There's something about this house, about lights at night, sounds, windows are open, then it's closed. No, hey. I said, no problem. So I said, I'm coming. So I came, I moved into the house that day. The first day we're in the house, in the evening, I had three children at that time. I put their children to bed. Hey, sleep. Lie down, sleep, sleep, sleep. Then they all slept. Then I told my wife, go and lie down and sleep. Then she's laid down to sleep. Then at 11 o'clock at night, I woke up. And I came and it was a story building. I came to the steps. I said, I hear somebody is here. If you are here, come out. No. If you are here, come out. I'm here, you are here. Let's discuss this issue. Because I can't live here with you. And I stood there for a while. Nobody came. Then I came downstairs to the hall. I said, look, you are not there, but you are here. If you are here, come out. And let's meet and face. Look, tell someone, you cannot be weak. You cannot let evil spirits drive you out. How come this man let some evil spirit control his child and throw the child to the ground, into the fire, into the water to kill him? And he couldn't help his son. Because he was weak. Amen. Because he was weak. And that's why, listen, are you here this morning? Tell somebody it's time to become strong. Oh, you didn't say it. I mean, speak like a strong man. It's time to become strong. Tell them, don't look at my body, look at my spirit. My spirit is a bodybuilder, the Terminator kind of spirit I have inside me. You can see the body if you're angry. No, don't mind the body. It's the spirit inside that matters. Yeah. And the man said that I came. Look at this one. Matthew 12. How else can one, verse 29, how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, take things, progress, advance, move forward in life, except he first bind the strong man? I mean, how can you go into a place and take things if you're not strong to occupy those things? You don't have financial strength, you can't buy. Physical strength, you can't pass. Spiritual strength, too, you'll be suppressed by all the wizards and witches in your house. Tell somebody it's time to be strong. Oh, you need to tell them it's time to be strong. And that's why church is a spiritual gym. When we come here, we are doing spiritual bodybuilding, speaking in tongues, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Yeah. Building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. Tell somebody, it's time to be strong. And you see, look, I'm just ending on this one. Tell them, it is useless to come to church and are still weak. Ah, you have paid for the gym. How much is the gym? How much do you pay? $200 a month. Yeah. And you are paying this amount and you are still weak. You are not wise. You are wasting the money going to pay $200 a month to go and sit at the gym and drink beer and eat omotu. Tell me, I'm a very big fool. Well, I mean, just eat the omotu and be happy then. But why pay for that? So ask your neighbor, why do you come to church and you are still weak? Please shake your neighbor and ask him, why? No, 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 shake him, shake him. This one, shake your neighbor, shake him. Why do you come to church? Hey, you need to shake him some. Hey, you can't shake him. Shake him. Don't be so weak. Shake your neighbor. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church and you are so weak? What's the use? We come here to become strong. Hallelujah. That's why we are being edified. It is a benefit of church edification. Building up. Building up. Speaking mysteries to God. Drawing close to God. That's why you... Yesterday I had a story. I went to... I had a meeting. I was at the meeting in town. And the speaker, he came from Malawi. And he said... a couple got married. Tell somebody, be careful who you marry. A couple got married. They had gone through counseling, very nice wedding. Then they went to a honeymoon. Then the husband came to the pastor to tell him this thing. The husband. He said, when they were on their honeymoon, one day, then the wife turned to the husband and asked him, me and you, who's powerful? Hey! And the man said, I mean, what question is this? Then she asked him, me and you, who is powerful? And the man said, what do you mean? And she said, me and you, who is powerful? And she didn't understand. Then the husband said, then she shook herself, then she changed. Hey, then she changed. Then she shook again, then she came back to herself. Then she asked him, me and you, who is more powerful? The man said, you. The man said, you. He knelt down. He knelt down. He said, you are more powerful. Yeah. When he came back, he came to his pastor to tell him. Then they called the girl. Then they delivered her of some spirits, some kind of powers that had been given to her from her mother or her grandmother. I don't know who gave it to her. But you see, look, you. If it was you, you also kneel down and say you are more powerful. But I said, no, 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 not me. I'll tell you, yeah, you made a mistake. You've come to my room. And you are in room with me. You will kneel down. I said, you will kneel down. Because you must know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. It's not the body. It is what you believe. Amen. Several times I've been in their house, I've heard creak, 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 creak. I said, look, either is mice or devils. I don't care. No, mice, I can't catch them. Devils, they can't do me anything. What is that? No. Listen, listen. Tell somebody, you've got to be strong. You've got to be spiritually strong. No, I mean, add some movement to it. You've got to be spiritually strong. And that's why we come to church, for edification. And if you are in church and you are not being edified, you are wasting your time. Go and play hockey. Go and play football, basketball. Go and do something else. If you are in church and you are not seeing your spiritual state becoming stronger, if you are in church and you are still afraid of wizards and witches, you are a weak church member. When you say wizard or witch, they say, where are they? They should come. I'm waiting for them. We are a wizard. There's a witch here. Is it really? There's a witch here. It's a long time I cast out a witch. Let's discuss this thing. You must have great spiritual strength. And when you do, the benefits of being in church will be clear to you. Put your hands together. This. Stand to your feet. This morning, I want us to do two things very quickly. Number one, you are here and you are not born again. You are here, number one. You are here. And you know in your heart, you don't have Jesus in your heart. And every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here. And you know in your heart, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. I'm not sure when I die, I'm going to heaven. Wherever you are, do me a favor and lift your right hand this morning very quickly. You are here. and you know in your heart, I'm not born again. You know in your heart, I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. I know I'm afraid to die sometimes. You are here. Just do me a favor. Look, as for death, it's coming. Oh, I tell you, it's coming. And you are here this morning. You don't have salvation. Lift your hand right now. I want to pray with you. This is the beginning of why we are in church. We are in church. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's why we are in church. You are here this morning. You are not born again. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have never prayed, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Wherever you are, do me a favor and lift your right hand. Just your right hand. Hallelujah. Just your right hand. Nobody, nobody here this morning who needs salvation. Nobody here needs salvation. Nobody needs salvation. Beautiful. 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 Father, thank you so, so very much for everyone here this morning. Thank you for the great grace of salvation that has found us, that we are fit for heaven, saved by Jesus and washed by his blood. And Lord, thank you that as we gather here this morning, you are speaking to us and praying for us. Bless us. Bless us in this time here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, one other thing we are going to do is
when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home."
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place. This is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.
He called me back.